Support for NPR comes from sitforless.com, selling all colors of the Herman Miller Aeron chair online, including the new color, True Black. sitforless.com.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, January 16th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In agricultural news, AFBF delegates yesterday had a strong message for Congress: get the farm bill done. Also, the FDA has approved meat and milk from cloned cattle, pigs, and goats. And the U.S. is growing tired of EU efforts to restrict use of GMO technology. I'll have details of these and other stories this half hour. And meteorologist Drew Lerner will be by with the latest on world weather. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. March wheat, $9.59, up $3. The July at $9.23, and it was up 14.5. The Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat, $9.26.5, down 5.5. May, $9.41, down 4. And the July version, a high on the day of 8.53, a low of 8.31, settling 8.50.25, up 1.25 on the day. March corn, 502.5, down 6.5. May, 514.75, down 6.75. July, 525.25, down 7.25. December, a high on the day of 525, a low of 518, settling 529, and it was down 7.75 on the day. Then we go to the soybean pit, and we see the March soybean contract at 12.77, down 24.5. May, 12.96.5, down 23.25. July, 13.14.25, down 23. November, a high on the day of 12.78, a low of 12.54, settling 12.85, down 11. March soybean meal, 3.46.90, down 9.20. March soybean oil, 52.73, down 58. February live cattle, 90.05, down 75. January feeders, 96.97.5, down 82.5. February lean hogs at 54.45, down 20 on the day. Join us this evening in another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. We'll be at the Elks Club in Pontiac, Illinois. There's a dinner at 5:30, and the meeting begins at 7. Panelists include Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. That's at the Elks Club in Pontiac this evening with a meal at 5:30. No charge for that. No reservation is required. And then the meeting at 7, bring your agricultural questions. And we do indeed hope to see you there.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave. It's been a busy day in Oakland, and the grain elevator is busy. It's almost like a second harvest here in central Illinois.
Producers calling you up today, hedgers calling you up today, speculators calling up to you up there to the Oakland office today. How much concern did they express on this little drop that we had?
You know, definitely the major sell-off in the stock market yesterday and the sell-off overnight, lower prices in crude oil, lower prices in gold and silver overnight, and the general idea that every headline on the commodity wires and Wall Street had recession scare in the marketplace, and it definitely had an influence on today's trade in Chicago in the commodities. It's interesting, the stock market did bounce back, and as a general rule, you know, it did bounce back, and of course the U.S. dollar also bounced back as well.
What do you make of the announcement from China that it plans to tighten controls on food supplies?
Well, you know, it's a you know, from a communist or a controlled central economy, it's probably a mistake, but it's interesting in the fact that they've tried to flood the markets with surplus grain, and it doesn't seem to work very well, and so now they're trying to raise, do certain subtle things like increase the lending requirements that the banks have on reserve and put these ceiling prices in, so to speak, to slow inflation down. One of the things that China has an advantage is, of course, is their large workplace. They have a lot of new innovative ideas and work deal, but the thing they don't want to have is a high-priced labor force wanting to spend a lot of extra money and insist on larger and higher wages. So this is a factor that they're very concerned with, and, of course, inflation basically upsets the apple cart as far as their planned economy is concerned.
When traders come back to the floor tomorrow, will they be talking recession again?
No, I think yes, particularly as long as we have this subprime issue. It's generally understood, and the whisper in the financial community, of course, is the Fed is going to be very open about being supportive to the U.S. economy. The president is basically meeting and doing a lot of arm twisting in the Mideast, and of course increasing oil production, and he is going to meet with congressional leaders to talk about the U.S. economy and of course what he found out on his trip to the Mideast trip. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is with him, so this is big time world economic political talks with some of the major players in the far in the Mideast there, and oil, and of course Iran are two major topics of conversation.
Take us through the technicals on the lead month options for March corn and March soybeans. What kind of damage was done, if any, off today's action, and what are the points of support in your mindset?
Yeah, well, my hunch is that there's probably no major technical support that's been damaged here, other than we all know the market's overbought. The government surprised us with a very bullish USDA report on corn and wheat, and as a result of that, we do anticipate some very large export sales in corn tomorrow. The damage done is very small at this time. You know, there was no markets that basically closed limit down or anything of the nature. You know, the farmer has basically dumped about all the grain that the marketplace can take and all he's willing to sell right now. So really, we're waiting patiently here for the market to digest everything. The other thing is these markets are so different than they were in the 1970s. One of the things that's been brought out is feed usage. Is it basically, did they make a sound call? And a lot of people feel the government did. The one area that we do have concern with from the government's point of view is the wheat acreage, and I think time will tell if that's a little bit on the small side. overnight, our weather forecast early this morning told me at 4:45 a.m. that the weather forecast wasn't as generous on weather as far as rainfall in Argentina, and Drew Lerner, World Weather, came around with that thought here at the noontime. So we do have a drier forecast in Argentina, and I don't think we'll see any major sell-off overnight. And I think that's going to be a big test to see just how things trade tonight.
I would suppose there are a number of people that have been waiting patiently for an opportunity to buy back into this market, and maybe overnight or at a future price level a little bit down the road, a little lower, that we might see some substantial buying into this market.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that, you know, as we go, and you're going to be going to an Outlook meeting tonight in a very rich farming community. Some of the best land in the world is right there. And, you know, I think that you'll find the same thing we found in Decatur, that 80 to 90% have basically decided what they're going to plant, how they're going to plant it, and I don't think we're going to be surprised like we did last year by major increases in corn acreage like we did in the February-March time frame last year, you know, and when we saw the spring planting come through. So, you know, the market is different, of course, than last year, and I think that I'm sure you'll ask those kind of questions tonight. You'll probably get the same answers as we got in Decatur.
Thank you very much, Paul. You have a grand day.
Have a profitable day, Dave.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois, and he joins us every Wednesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report. AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser tells us a winter storm watch is in effect for Joe Davies County in extreme northwestern Illinois from this evening through tomorrow afternoon. And then tonight in northwestern Illinois, cloudy with snow. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with patches of light rain and light snow, and lows from around 20 in far northwestern Illinois to 32 in the far south. Tomorrow in the north and central sections, cloudy with periods of snow. In the south, cloudy with some snow and rain, and highs ranging from 24 in far northwestern Illinois to around 40 in the far south. The extended cold front will push through Friday afternoon and night, ushering in much colder air along with a little more snow. Temperatures over the weekend will be well below freezing, some low temperatures below zero in northern and central sections. In agricultural news, the U.S. says it will pursue WTO trade sanctions unless the European Union reverses bans on planting GMO crops. The announcement comes just 2 days after France joined a handful of EU countries in banning a variety of GMO animal feed corn produced by Monsanto that was previously licensed for cultivation in the EU. Under WTO rules, a company can only prohibit a product for safety reasons. The EU's own food safety watchdog has already approved the Monsanto strain. U.S. retaliation against France could include trade sanctions, for example, on French wines. The U.S. could also demand the EU lower some of its tariffs on U.S. goods in specific markets as compensation. Congressional sources say they expect the Senate will confirm Ed Schaefer as the next USDA secretary at a hearing a week from Thursday. Political observers say the expectation is that Schaefer will be on the job ahead of the president's State of the Union speech on January 28th. American Farm Bureau Federation delegates passed a resolution yesterday calling for Congress to quickly pass the Farm Bill. Illinois Farm Bureau President Phil Nelson.
I think all of us have heard the question back in our respective states many times, when are we going to have a Farm Bill passed? And I think it's important that we come out of this delegate session sending a clear message to our legislators and conferees that we want a Farm Bill. To Chairman Peterson, Chairman Harkin, Secretary Connor, the administration. And that clear message is that we do want a Farm Bill. We want it now. Get her done.
Nelson introduced the full resolution.
Whereas swift passage of a comprehensive Farm Bill is a critical legislative priority for Farm Bureau members, whereas a Farm Bill must provide a strong safety net for our nation's farm and ranch families while also meeting significant new needs in the areas of conservation, rural development, renewable energy, and nutrition. Whereas federal spending on commodity programs has already fallen significantly from levels authorized under previous omnibus farm legislation and is expected to decline even further, whereas farmers and ranchers have already planted 2008 crops or are well into the process of making production decisions for the upcoming growing season, and further delay in determining the structure of future farm programs is problematic. Whereas fruit and vegetable producers cannot benefit from new funding sources included in both bills for research, trade, nutrition, and marketing until a new bill is signed into law. Whereas livestock producers and other farmers cannot benefit from increased funding for vital programs until a new bill becomes law. And whereas a 1 or 2 year extension of the current farm bill will not provide the meaningful long-term certainty that is imperative to farm and ranch families and will also erode the budget for farm programs, thereby making it even more difficult in the future to write a farm bill with meaningful safety net for America's farmers and ranchers. Therefore, be it resolved by the voting delegates representing more than 6 million members in 50 states and Puerto Rico that the American Farm Bureau Federation and all state farm bureaus, number one, urge Congress to swiftly conference and then pass a comprehensive farm bill that maintains an adequate safety net for farmers and ranchers. Number two, vigorously oppose a 1 or 2 year extension of the current law. And three, emphatically urge the President to sign this critical piece of legislation.
Over the weekend, Acting USDA Secretary Chuck Connor told delegates that the White House and Congress remain far apart on Farm Bill funding. The 2002 Farm Bill has been extended until March 15th. AFBF delegates also voiced support yesterday for mandatory country of origin labeling. The Food and Drug Administration announced yesterday in a 1,000-page report that meat and milk from cloned cattle, hogs, and goats pose no safety concerns and are no different from food that comes from animals bred through traditional means. The decision parallels findings in Canada and New Zealand. USDA and FDA will continue studying the economic implications and effect on trade of allowing commercialization of milk or meat from clones. USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, Bruce Knight.
We will be convening the industry leaders to talk about what are the concerns that folks have, what are the steps that are needed in order to be able to move forward.
One consideration could be labeling. Stephen Sunloff is director of the FDA's Center of Food Safety and Applied Nutrition.
If a company wanted to label their products affirmatively that they came from animals that were clones, they would have the ability to do that. If they wanted to label their products as certifying that they were not produced from animal clones with the right caveats, that could be accomplished too. So there can be labeling that allows the public to have that kind of information.
National Farmers Union President Tom Bias says the ruling on cloned animals is troubling. In his words, the economic implications of introducing products from cloned animals into the marketplace could be potentially devastating for family farmers and consumers. Executives of two of the nation's largest rail carriers say the Southeast and Southwest are the next likely growth areas for the U.S. ethanol market in 2008. Executives at CSX Transportation say the company plans to build 3 ethanol terminals in the South this year. CSX currently operates 5 ethanol terminals in the Northeast. CSX shipped 1.2 billion gallons of ethanol in 2007, about 1 of every 5 gallons produced in the U.S. And a senior U.S. trade official says the U.S. should not bow to mounting demands from Mexican farmers to make exceptions of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Mexico and the U.S. dropped the few remaining restrictions on farm goods on January 1st. U.S. Undersecretary for Farm and Foreign Agriculture Mark Keenum says ideas are false that a flood of heavily subsidized goods will flood Mexico's market. Mexican farmers have scheduled a nationwide protest on January 31st in an effort to convince Mexico's government to renegotiate NAFTA. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon, Kay.
Well, good afternoon to you, Dave.
We were talking on the telephone before this broadcast about what the farmers were doing, and you had some interesting news about what they were doing on Monday and Tuesday.
Well, like I've said, even though there is so much individuality between the producers, sometimes it's very eerie how they think collectively. Monday and Tuesday, I think, especially yesterday, they just had a feeling, I think, that we were peaking this thing out. We bought a lot of corn all the way from cash order to new crop Monday and Tuesday. It was a very, very busy day, and I think they're smiling now that they were so perceptive that we were going to have a sell-off today. So, yeah, we've had some big sellers here.
And how were those purchases made primarily?
As we've discussed before, they seem to like the flat price. Most of them are flat price traders, and I think Area Elevator is starting to charge some fees now for hedge to arrive, so they're staying away from those. So it's just a flat price, a forward contract is what they're doing. We're even buying a little bit of 2009 crop, especially in corn.
There's a lot of smaller elevators and maybe some elevators that are not so small, and maybe even some processors that have been feeling the pain of this significant run-up in the futures market in terms of the margin recall requirement money given to the Chicago Board of Trade and Kansas City and Minneapolis. Do you have any viewpoint on the hedge money, and are some elevators reaching the point where they're reaching the end of their financial wherewithal and ability to continue to hedge their product?
Well, you know, it's a similar situation that we saw in 96 when they were doing multi-year contracts and some of these elevators got in trouble. Some of the smaller ones may be in trouble this time. Now, the ConAgras and your bigger organizations, naturally, they're concerned. They're going to try and do it in basis levels because you're just seeing basis levels plummet. You know, as this market continues to go up, they're going to have to make it up in basis. And so yes, it's a concern. And not only that, when commercials do a lot of selling, they exchange futures. And I think there's going to be a lot less of that because you're selling for shipment like 8-10 months away. They're going to just do basis only and then do the futures later on. So, yeah, they're trying to establish some patterns here where they can minimize the risk.
Let's give people a sense of some of these basis levels. Central Illinois for corn, 15 under. Peoria, 26 under. Decatur, 15 under. Champaign, 24 under. Evansville, Indiana, 12 under for the beans. Basis bids, Chicago 67 under, Central Illinois 45 under, Peoria 63 under, as is Bloomington, Evansville 58 under, Champaign, Illinois 65 under. So these basis levels are not in line with the basis levels that are typical on average for this time of year, are they?
Absolutely not. And, you know, since this market is there's so much outside money coming into these markets, you know, everybody likes to look at historical values, historical basis levels, and historical this and that. You can throw all that out the window because we're all groping in the dark here because this is kind of new territory. And, yeah, these basis levels are a little exaggerated just because of the risk of carrying these hedges for so long a time.
Thanks, Kay.
Thank you, Dave.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Support for WILL is provided by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an agricultural marketing and planning meeting Tuesday, January 22nd from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Holiday Inn in Terre Haute, Indiana. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois' big day at the Rose Bowl included a nearly $69,000 bill for a party with a big tent. A report from the State Auditor General today indicates the university rented the tent for a chancellor's reception before the New Year's Day game. The report says the university got the tent from the only company providing them in the Rose Bowl Hospitality Tent Village, and it says the cost was considered reasonable. University spokeswoman Robin Kaler says the cost was covered by donations rather than tax money or Rose Bowl revenue. Kaler says the money was well spent. She says the party gave Illinois a chance to court more well-heeled donors at the big game. Power is back on for about 2,200 customers in West Champaign. Ameren says a lightning arrestor failed during normal work late this morning, creating a power outage that lasted more than an hour. The American Red Cross has named Northwest Indiana a national-level disaster area after last week's floods destroyed hundreds of homes and displaced thousands of residents.
Dave
Governor
Dickey
Mitch Daniels plans to ask for federal help for flood victims.
Oh, he did.
Three people,
okay,
including two children, died
thanks.
In Indiana during the flooding. It also led to two deaths and hundreds of evacuations in eastern Illinois. The director of the Champaign County Nursing Home predicts black ink in the home's finances in 12 to 18 months. Andrew Buffenbarger says the current fiscal year's budget is set to end without a loss, and the home is in its fourth month in a row of positive cash flow. The nursing home has battled chronic budget deficits, prompting Buffenbarger to recommend an advisory board to oversee operations and offer advice. The county board is set to vote on a revised version of that proposal next week. It passed a county board committee after an initial proposal faced opposition from some members who said a separate board would undermine the county board's oversight.
I didn't, but I called the number and they said...
Illinois State Treasurer Alexi Giannulia says a judge's foreclosure order on a state-backed Springfield hotel ends a 25-year political and financial debacle.
That's okay.
Earlier this week, a Sangamon County judge ordered foreclosure on the President Abraham Lincoln Hotel. It was built with $16 million in loans back in 1982, but its owners owe the state $30 million on it. Giannulia's hopes the foreclosure order allows the state to get ownership of the hotel and then sell it. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, we were talking to Paul Cooley earlier in this broadcast, and he said your noon run for Argentina is of interest in that it is trending a little bit drier.
Yes, indeed. The rain event was scheduled for tomorrow night into Friday has been reduced a bit. This often occurs. Let me take you back 24 hours here. There was an increase in rainfall that turned out to be a correct forecast that was expected for Argentina last night and today, and that did occur. We had greater amounts of rain. What often occurs when you have two little disturbances that are closely spaced to each other, like these two were, the one that occurred last night and the one that's coming up tomorrow, that if you end up with a greater amount of precipitation coming out of the first event, a lot of times you'll lose the energy from the second event. And that's exactly what's occurring now. The models picked up on that at midday today, and they greatly reduced the amount of rain coverage and amounts, both, for Argentina for tomorrow. Now, if we step back and look at the big picture, taking both storm systems and putting them together and looking at how they have evolved since early this week, I'm not sure we really lost a lot of precipitation. We still got some halfway decent rain in some areas last night. We'll get some other rain here tomorrow into Friday. And the bottom line is that we'll have a temporary improvement in topsoil moisture, but we're still not looking at anything that's going to be long-lasting in the sense that these crop areas are not going to have to worry about dryness anymore, because that's definitely not the case. We've got about a week to 10 days worth of restricted precipitation coming up, and temperatures will be seasonable, but at this time of the year, that means 80s and lower 90s, pretty common, some middle 90s in the northern areas. And obviously, you pick up a quarter of an inch of rain every once in a while. That's going to be lost within a few hours of its fall. So Argentina is definitely not out of the woods from the moisture stress it's been faced with for the last few weeks. But we are going to see some shower activity periodically that will slow down any decline that may be occurring.
And the spigots getting turned on in Brazil?
Yes. Some of the center south and center west areas, which is really bottom line, is this really central two-thirds of the country. That region is going to see a lot of precipitation, especially next week, starting Monday and going out about a 10-day period. Rain and thunderstorms will occur almost every day, and rain amounts may be highly variable, but because the ground is already close to the point of saturation, the additional precipitation that occurs is going to end up being runoff. And obviously, when you get a situation like that for 10 days, you're going to end up raising the potential for some flooding in some low-lying areas and along some rivers and streams. Do not expect the precipitation to be so great that we have a real serious problem on our hands where production would be threatened. But I do think there'll be an excess of moisture around for an extended period of time that will not necessarily be welcome for the northernmost crops where they are maturing, the crops up there, and some early harvesting is already underway. There will be some delay there. But because it was so dry early in the year, a lot of that early crop is actually going to be a little later. So maybe it's not going to be all that bad.
Thanks much, Drew. You have a great day.
All right, you too. Take care now.
Take care. Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio links page. This is Dave Dickey.